What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Pwned, the Information Security Podcast by New Harbor Security. This week, we are starting a series of discussions with some of the original members of New Harbor discussing how they created the company, where the company's going, lessons learned. If you're an entrepreneur or you're interested in leadership and how to build a company, I highly recommend these episodes. We're going to start with Kyle, who we've had on the series before, and we'll be digging into some other areas of the company, including our marketing and sales starting next week. So listen in, let us know what you think, and stay tuned for more episodes.
Boy.
Yeah. All right. So we are back with Kyle. What's up, Kyle?
Not too much. How are you, Zach?
Doing well. It's a beautiful day out. It's starting to feel more fall-like. And the last time you were on, it was somewhere around the temperature of the surface of the sun and 100% humidity.
Can we just get something in between?
I'm actually down for pure coldness. I want to wear a sweatshirt. I was wearing a hoodie over the weekend, and I remember just how awesome it is that you can, you know, put on sweatshirts and be comfortable.
Yep.
So I'm down for that. So you're back. For those who've listened to the podcast, which I hope is everyone at this point, my illusions of grandeur are pretty extreme. Kyle is the leader of the RedSec offensive security group. He also does about a million other things at New Harbor. And in talking to him last week about this, one of the reasons he does a million things at New Harbor is the fact that he's one of the OG members of New Harbor and has been around for almost the entire existence of the company. Is that true? Am I exaggerating?
Yeah. No, you're not exaggerating.
And your role has evolved as the company evolved. But when you started, how many people were on the payroll?
I think there were four of us.
Four. So it was easy to account for everyone. You just look around the room.
Yeah. And so we had an office space that was, I think it was like 15 by 20. And we had one table in it.
Yeah, palatial, right? Some would describe it as.
Yeah. I think we have conference rooms bigger than that now.
That's true. Yeah. I don't even know if that fits like the standard square footage for like, you know, a cubicle anymore for that much space. So, which is cool because you've been able to see where the company has come and gone over the course of that time. And it was funny last week, everyone was sharing pictures. I don't know what was going on. Everyone just got nostalgic or something, but
yeah,
started sharing pictures of the old office. And there was some very, you know, to be honest, there was some character to that building that, which mill building? And that was in Winooski, right? That was one of the mill buildings out there.
The one in Burlington, actually.
Oh, in Burlington. Okay. Yeah. So those buildings, if people have never been into one of those, I mean, obviously these are like 150 years old or, you know, around that era. And then, they have like just all this weird quirky stuff. Cause they just built where they had to build near rivers. And in some cases that meant that there's giant rocks jutting through the floor and into the office space. And then there was like one of the pictures had the giant like wheel. There was a like some sort of mechanical wheel that was at the entryway, it looked like. At some point was probably part of the production.
Yeah. So that office space, about a quarter of it was taken up by these two gigantic wheels. So, you know, 15 by 20, and then you lost, you know, a quarter of it to these wheels. And those wheels were actually originally where they had giant belts that ran from there up under the upper floors to run all of the woolen machinery. And those wheels were actually connected direct to the water wheels outside.
Oh, wow.
So what's not there anymore is outside those windows was the original, I don't know what they call it, the water house or whatever the name is, where the actual water wheels were. So yeah.
And then at the point that you were working there was powering the internet and the coffee machine and everything else, I'm assuming.
Pretty much.
And so, you know, I guess, you have experience in sort of the, I guess it's hard to call New Harbor like a startup anymore. I mean, 5 years, but it still is like, it's growing like a startup. I think it, you know, certainly Justin, I think still sort of looks at it as a startup to a degree, like not in the way that like it's an immature company, but more like trying to be on the leading edge and trying to be flexible and still very entrepreneurial in its efforts. But you previously came from like a much more, I guess, like giant corporate style, you know, company, and then moved to New Harbor from that. You know, what made you make that leap?
Quite honestly, it boiled down to wanting to work for an organization that actually cared about its clients. You know, I came from kind of big IT, and while I'm not going to say they didn't care about their clients, profits and, you know, resale and such definitely were the priority. And I wasn't in a, you know, 100% security focused role. You know, obviously any IT shop does some facets of security, but it wasn't a dedicated role. And I didn't want to leave Vermont. So I took that job to, you know, pay the bills and gain some experience, and then got lucky enough to kind of run into New Harbor along the way.
And I guess, you know, obviously you're still here. So how has New Harbor, you know, maybe evolved? And, you know, again, sort of looking at your previous experience, like it continues to seem to put a focus on taking care of the clients, obviously.
Right.
But like it also, like you said, you were trying to find some new, you know, balance to your life. You know, is the reason you're still here because, you know, New Harbor isn't evolving, or because it was so evolved that now the rest of the companies are catching up?
I think it's somewhere in between, really, right? Like we've definitely continued to evolve and continue to move the needle. And I've also seen a lot of companies, both that I've worked for in the past and just other ones I've been keeping an eye on, that are starting to move more towards the New Harbor way, I guess. But I think we're still very special in that, you know, we actually put client needs first. And that really starts at the top, right? I mean, when I interviewed, obviously it was just Justin, because that was really right. As far as, you know, executives go. I mean, and I classify my interview as it was more of a conversation rather than an interview, right? Like, I think I knew I was really interested in New Harbor. I think Justin knew that he was really interested in me. And it was just kind of a discussion to make sure him and I were on the same page.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, you don't get that opportunity very often where you can sit down with the CEO of a company and kind of make sure that you guys are in alignment on where you want to go, how you want to see the company go, et cetera. So it was a really kind of unique opportunity for myself.
And why did you, I mean, like that's a small company, right? And he was trying to take on some like really Herculean contracts for cybersecurity. That's a huge risk. So what was it about it that made you say like, oh yeah, this is actually worth taking that leap? Or were you just throwing caution to the wind and like this, I'm pumped up from this dude, so let's make it happen.
So, I mean, it was a little bit of both. So, I mean, you know, when I met with Justin, we kind of talked about what contracts and what partners the company already had, right? So, I mean, I was in early, but not so early that there wasn't some established, you know, equity over the course of a year of them working. Sure. You know, I think New Harbor had been in existence about a year and a half when I joined, and you know, those that came before me were working on some rather large contracts, and there was a lot of room to obviously grow that. So I think that was part of it, is I kind of knew that. The second thing was, you know, at the time, one of those other employees I knew from a previous life, so kind of just given a gut check of, you know, what's this at. And I think the last one, like I said, was, you know, meeting with Justin. And you know, for those of you listening that have talked to Justin, you know that, you know, he bleeds this stuff. So he was an easy person to kind of get behind.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's an evangelist for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. He was easy to get behind. And I, you know, I could see the future and I could see that there was this need that he was filling that didn't really exist in the marketplace. So while there was some, you know, obviously some risk there to joining any company when it's small, it was a unique opportunity. And, you know, I follow Justin and he's taken good care of me and the company's taken good care of both of us.
So I guess if you had some advice maybe to someone who's looking to either start a company like New Harbor or join a company like New Harbor? What were some of the lessons learned that you guys had in the early days? Like maybe the top three, like smash your head against the wall. Like, oh my God, I wish we'd figured this out before we ran into it.
No, you don't want much, do you, Zach? I think in the early days, just by the nature of being a small organization, you know, we may have not always looked 100 miles down the road, right? It was kind of
trying to keep your head above water, right?
Right. I mean, and back then, I like to call it was kind of like the company of heroes, you know, so yeah. Everyone did everything. So, you know, right. One day Justin was the CEO, and the next day Justin was delivering an assessment. And, you know, one day I was working for one of the big contracts, and the next day I was out, you know, with Scott on the sales run, right? Like, and he was kind of that way. So I think, you know, being flexible and understanding that you have a role to fill and that that role can shift a moment's notice, and being willing to do that. Looking a little further down the road would have definitely helped us in the early days. But again, like you said, keeping our heads above water was kind of the importance. And I think lastly, and I know that Justin would echo this most likely, is, you know, understanding that people can outgrow the company and the company can outgrow people.
Yeah.
And that that's okay. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It doesn't have to be, you know, a mortal sin if someone decides to move on, or, you know, whatever it might be, is that's part of growing. You know, Justin always says we reserve the right to get smarter. And I think we truly live that. So just being, you know, understanding that all of those things come together to create quite an interesting roller coaster of a career.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because that's actually something Justin had brought up. It was actually at the tail end of the last podcast about like looking at employees as they come in. I would say particularly with like smaller, more lean companies where, you know, like you lose someone, that's a big hit. He was looking at him like a college basketball or, you know, other sports program where, you know, you've got people for a short period of time. So what's the best option? Do you just like grind them out and, you know, wear them down? Or do you look at like, hey, we've got you for 4 years. We need to make you the best that we can. And then if you go on, cool. It was good having you. I mean, obviously there's investments that come with new employees. I forget Justin said, like, especially for our, you know, the folks on the sort of front lines, some of those investments are pretty significant, certifications and training and whatnot. But at the same time, like you set someone out into the world, they might come back, or if anything else, they're going to go out there and hopefully propagate what they learn from New Harbor. And so I guess that's the segue for the, you know, sort of the tail end of this conversation is, you know, where do you see New Harbor going in the future? You know, from your perspective, or even talking about like your department specifically with the offensive security, like, is that going to be more of the future like this? You know, I think we've had conversations with other folks about how, like, you know, obviously cybersecurity is so dynamic and everything. You know, is it predictable, or are we sort of like at the helm of like chasing the bad guys and, you know, trying to just keep up with them?
I mean, I think it's predictable to a point. You know, I guess the kind of analogy I'd make is it's like having a fog of war, right? So there's definitely some distance out in front of you that you can see, but you definitely can't look out 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
20 years ago, if you had told somebody that there was this, you know, this thing called Zoom and it was going to have issues,
our entire lives were going to run off of it.
Yeah. People would look at you like you were crazy. But there's definitely some, you know, some vision you can gain. And I think that's something that I'm excited about with the way that New Harbor's positioned itself, is that we have all these different teams. So, you know, we have operators focused on the red side. We have, you know, we have the whole blue team with the managed services and the managed SOC. So we have a very unique ability to kind of pull all of that combined skill set and try to get as good of a picture of the future as we can, albeit, you know, often it might be like looking through Saran wrap and you're trying to determine, you know, what the shape is. But, you know, I think as New Harbor grows and as we offer more services, you know, we're only going to become even better with our clients, in that we have the ability to offer them more intel, more information, and help them, you know, mature their cybersecurity programs as we grow.
I, one of my graduate programs, I've now had almost two master's degrees done. I've not completed either of them. I've got commitment issues, apparently. One of them was, in leadership science. And, so I did a study primarily about like what makes, you know, leaders that are resilient and, you know, programs robust, and entrepreneurship is strongly tied to that. So there's, one of the things that I'm going to ask you is basically like, do you think the fact that like New Harbor, and I'm saying this as a new employee who, you know, this is a company that's been around for 5 years, not new, I guess I've been here for almost 6 months or over 6 months, I think now. But looking at a company that's still relatively young in its life, but it is much more matured, it's growing, it's much more established in the industry. You know, we're handing out, you know, big contracts with people who trust us with a lot of really important stuff. Do you think that entrepreneurial spirit from the beginning is still what keeps maybe New Harbor going? Because, you know, again, when I looked at the data as to companies that did really well, it's the people who are like capable of bootstrapping when they need to, being innovative, thinking on the fly. There are some downsides, like people like that tend not to look super far in the future, which again, for cybersecurity may not be an issue. But do you think that sort of attitude is maybe what continues to set us apart, where maybe some of our peers that have gotten locked into that corporate long-term, like, you know, provide for the shareholders type of attitude are not succeeding in the same way?
100%. You know, Justin is very good at looking at someone and determining where their strengths are and where their weaknesses are, and understanding when he can kind of let them run and when he can't. So, I mean, we've been able to tap into most of us kind of, as he would say, the OG crew.
Yeah.
And let them run what they're good at and let them innovate where they know how. So, I mean, you know, him and I worked closely together to build out the RedSec platform, and him and Paul Ducini worked closely together to build out IA, and him and Sebastian working very close together to build out, you know, the additional services on the kind of the managed SOC side of the house. So, you know, having those people in those key roles that all have that spirit of, you know, always being better and always coming up with the next thing is definitely, I think, something that keeps us ahead of the curve. And in turn, being ahead of the curve helps the company succeed.
I think that's a good place to end. Awesome. Well, thank you, Kyle. Appreciate your thoughts.
Anytime.
All right. That is the first episode in our series on how New Harbor got started and some of the behind the scenes and basically how the secret sauce was made. If you are interested in joining the team, getting some help with your cybersecurity efforts, or just in general wanting to learn a little bit about cybersecurity, visit us at www.newharborsecurity.com. Like, share, subscribe. Email us at pwned@newharborsecurity.com. Tell us your ideas. If you'd like to be on the show, let us know. And we'll see you guys next week.